So the reading tonight is taken from Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 25 to 29. That you'll find on page 1009. So that's Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 25 to 29. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Great to keep your Bibles open at page 1009. And let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through it. And Lord, please would you help us to listen to you, to hear you speaking this evening, and to obey and do what we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've gone for a really amazing walk in the countryside, and you get to the top of a mountain, and you just see that fantastic view in front of you. Or maybe you're just by a river and it's just beautiful and it takes your breath away and you just kind of want to sit there forever basking in that beauty, and you kind of want to take a bit of it home with you. Or maybe you go to a really amazing concert. Whatever is your particular preference in music, it doesn't matter. But you go to an awesome concert and you're just really getting into the music and it's just affecting all of your being. And the concert finishes and you just sit there basking in the music that you've just heard. It's ringing round in your head still. Maybe if you've been to a particularly loud concert, it will literally be ringing around in your head for many hours to come. But again, you just want to take a bit of that feeling home with you. It's like you want to bottle it and remember it and take it back. I felt a bit like that after Wallace's sermon last week, as we reflected on heaven, on the hope that Christians have, on what we have waiting for us. I have to say, for me personally, I wanted to just sit there and reflect and bask in what I just heard from God's word. If you weren't here last week and you didn't hear it, listen to it on the website. It's really, really worth listening to. But last week we had this wonderful picture of heaven, this final destination for all Christian believers, the city of Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the place where God is. And it was just fantastic to hear about that, to be reminded of that. And the writer of the Hebrews wants us to reflect on that, wants us to keep thinking about that, wants us to keep that in our hearts and our minds. But as he finishes off this chapter, the writer of the Hebrews, with that ringing in our ears, also wants to go on and give us a little bit of a warning. But also within that warning, he wants to give Christian believers some assurance. And it's all part of this bit, the beginning of chapter 12, of that bit of running the race. How to keep going, to keep going for Christ, to keep living for him each and every day. Last week we saw what is ahead of us. But the writer now turns and says, look at what's ahead of you, but in the meantime, this is how it needs to affect your actions. So first of all, he says, verse 25, listen to God's word and obey. Listen to God's word and obey, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. You see, with this picture of heaven in our minds, the writer says, so listen to the one who is speaking to you. Listen to God who is speaking to you. Don't refuse to listen to him. Because that's what, as he often does, looks back to the Old Testament. That's what they did there. I'll come back to that in a minute. He picks up a bit here on where he starts the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 2. And the writer of the Hebrews says this, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So right at the beginning of Hebrews, he said, look, this is how God is speaking. He's spoken to us by his Son. And that's what he means by in the second half of verse 25, where he talks about speaking from heaven. The Lord Jesus came and he died and he rose and he speaks to us through his word by his Spirit. That's the one whom God has spoken in these last days. But you see, he's gone back and he said, but look, the Jews refused to listen to God, the Israelites. You know, Moses went up, he got up the mountain, got the Ten Commandments, got the law from God, came down, said, this is what it means to be one of God's people. I've just rescued you out of Egypt, out of slavery. You couldn't do anything about it yourselves. You were completely trapped. You were totally enslaved. You were utterly helpless. I have rescued you. You're now my people. And so this is what it means to be the people of God. This is what it means. It means to obey me. Here's how I want you to live, to be distinctive and different from the nations around you. As a result of the rescue, not to get the rescue, but because of the rescue. But we know when we look back in Exodus that they didn't do a great job of listening to God's word. In fact, they disobeyed almost immediately, as they did countless times in the Old Testament. So the writer to the Hebrews says, look, these guys who refused to obey me, you remember what happened to them? Well, they had to wander around the desert for 40 years. Look, they didn't escape my judgment when they refused to listen to me. And even more, now I've sent my Son, the Lord Jesus, down to earth to speak in these last days. If you're not going to listen to him, if you're going to reject him, if you're going to disobey him, then there's no other options. There's no second chances. There's no other way to be saved, to know me. How much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven? We've got this great picture of heaven. Jesus is seated at heaven. He sent his Spirit to speak to us through God's words, to tell us how to live as God's people, to give us the good news of the gospel, to give us the good news that Jesus came down for us sinners. We're going to be remembering that as we share the bread and the wine a bit later. He says, listen, obey, don't reject me. Because if you do, there's no other chances. So listen to God's word and obey, says the writer to the Hebrews. And we need to do that, don't we? Sometimes we don't like to listen, particularly if it's something we don't like the sound of. I guess many of us have done that thing where maybe we're at home and somebody else in the house says, oh, could you just come and do this for us, as we're kind of, I don't know, walking up the stairs to do something else. And we kind of, we've heard them, but we pretend because we're walking away from them, we haven't. Anybody else done that, or is it just me? Particularly when we're younger, maybe, I don't know, but or maybe, oh no, my hearing's going, sorry, I didn't quite hear you. When it's something we don't really want to hear, it's easy not to listen, isn't it? I think social media today, despite the vast waves of information that we have, it makes it really, really easy not to listen. Because if we are watching something or reading something on a post or a tweet or whatever it is that we've seen, and we don't like what we're reading or we're listening to, we just swipe onto the next thing or flick onto the next thing or delete it. We don't have to listen to what we don't like. And it's so easy on our phones to do that, isn't it? And just to listen to the stuff that we like. In fact, that's exactly how all the search engines work. They look at our habits and they just send us stuff that we're going to want to hear. It's pretty clever advertising, pretty fancy stuff. But that's how all the stuff and the advertising, published, everything on the internet works, isn't it? It just feeds what we want to hear. I think we're getting less and less good at listening in our culture and our society. You know, we've got the election coming up, haven't we? And one thing I see again and again from politicians is they just don't listen to each other at all. They just speak louder and shout longer. And when you see all the protesters and all the rest of it, whatever you think of what they're protesting about, now, if we try and engage in a discussion or a reasoned debate with somebody that we might disagree with, actually to disagree with them is to, nowadays in our culture, is to say, I hate you. And so therefore, because of that sort of rhetoric that's being put across, it means we're listening to each other less and less and less. But the writer to the Hebrews says, listen. Listen to God's word and obey it. And the challenge for us tonight is, are we listening and obeying? Or are we just flicking on to the next thing when we hear something in God's word that's a bit awkward, or maybe we don't quite get on with, or we don't understand, or maybe we don't like? Or when we hear something preached from the pulpit, or are we listening to God's words as we sit here each day? Each Sunday. Are we listening to God's word ourselves? Are we opening God's word for ourselves each day and listening to him? Really listening to him. Not just reading the Bible out of duty, but sitting there going, when I read these words, God is speaking to me. God, what are you trying to say to me? Are we listening or flicking on to the next thing? The writer warns us to listen. But as we do that, if we're trusting in Jesus, whatever else is going on around us, we can have confidence. Because in verse 26 to 27, we see that the earth shakes, but that believers can have confidence. You see, this warning is issued in the light of God's promise to shake all of creation at the end of time. But again, the writer goes back to Exodus, to that mountain, to Sinai, as the law is given to the Israelites. And as they're standing there and God gives the law, the earth shakes. And the people are terrified because they understand some of the majesty and power of God. Some of the Psalms brilliantly reflect this moment. Psalm 114, verse 7. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Jacob. Psalm 66, verse 8. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked and the heavens poured out rain. Psalm 77, verse 18. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lightened up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Now, I have never personally been in an earthquake. I don't know if anybody here has, but there's a couple of people who have put their hands up. Oh, yes. Robert and Barbara, you were in an earthquake only a few weeks ago, weren't you? And so you'll be able to correct me if I'm wrong. But from what I've seen, it looks really terrifying. In a big earthquake, it looks, and I'm sure it's utterly terrifying. You know, as I kind of stand here on solid ground, it feels really nice and solid, doesn't it? And you feel kind of secure and you kind of feel all right. And we're in a building that's been here for, what, 900 years, isn't it? And it's solid, it's secure. But then when the earth trembles and shakes, suddenly, the things that we put our confidence in, the things that we think are solid and secure, the things which are reliable, don't seem quite so reliable anymore. When it's a massive quake and solid earth literally ripples like a wave, and buildings that seem big and massive crumble to dust, in the face of such power, must be terrifying. Well, Haggai chapter 2 verse 6 refers to this shaking as the sign of the end, a day when the earth will pass away, when, as it says in Revelation, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And Haggai writes this, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Everything that has been made will be destroyed." See, the only thing that the writer to the Hebrews says will remain are those things which can never be shaken. And I don't know about you, but I want to know what those things are. When you're in an earthquake zone, you want to know where the safe places are to stand. I understand it's in a doorway or something like that, or under a table. But you want to know what it is that can't be shaken, don't you? Well, the only thing that will remain as God shakes the earth is our relationship with God. That's all that's going to be left. Let me take you back to a time when you were at primary school. And I don't know whether you did this at primary school, but we used to do like glitter pictures where you kind of like squirt glue on a paper in some sort of a shape and you kind of shake a load of glitter on it. And then you shake the glitter off and the only glitter that remains is that which is stuck to the glue. I just wondered if that was a helpful little picture about what's going on here. As God shakes the earth, the only thing that remains is the glitter that's stuck to the glue. Those who know and trust the Lord Jesus. If we get the reality of heaven as we were reflecting on last week, we also need to understand the reality of God's judgment. The destruction that is facing, according to the writer to the Hebrews, those who are not part of God's kingdom. But you see, for those who are part of God's kingdom, there's great confidence. Like standing in the middle of an earthquake zone, when a massive earthquake is happening, and you stand there utterly confident that when the earthquake is finished, when everything else lies in rubble, you'll be totally safe. Or like being that piece of glitter that sticks to the glue as the rest of it's shaken off the paper. That's the confidence those knowing the Lord Jesus can have. As God shakes the heaven and the earth, as he shakes it again, so that those things that cannot shake in will remain. And as those with that assurance confidence, the writer then says, we need to worship God with reverence. Verse 28 and 29. You see, the only way we can be sure of surviving the shaking at the end of the time is, as we saw earlier on in last week, is to be in God's city, Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And the response to this hope that is attained through faith is to worship the one who gives it with great thankfulness. Now obviously this hasn't happened yet. And so as believers we need to have faith in the Lord God that when we stand when the earth is shaken, when God comes to judge, we will be those still remaining. And I found this great little quote about faith. And it says this, faith is the present grasp of invisible truth. Faith is the present grasp of invisible truth. And it's true, isn't it? Even at the moment, our world feels a bit like it's being shaken. Things are uncertain. And things which feel certain, which we try and hold on to, are just not holding up. But you see, as believers, we have that certain hope that we can share with those around us. I mean, in our country at the moment, we've got the ever-changing uncertainty of Brexit, which some people are just fed up to the back teeth with. We've got the uncertainty of who's going to be ruling our country in the next few weeks. When you look at the news, there's constantly financial uncertainty because of these other uncertainties. And then people are saying, well, then that means there might be job insecurities. And then, of course, you've got all the climate change protests because people are uncertain about what the future holds for our planet from an environmental perspective. There's uncertainty there and we're being scared about what the future holds. We think, well, if we use less plastic, then we're going to save our planet. And we do what we can to get involved and to try and save our country or save our world. But ultimately, if we're trusting Jesus, we're part of a greater kingdom that cannot be shaken, whatever the future holds. So actually, as we're believers, when we're trusting in Jesus, as we look at the election happening, as we look at Brexit happening, as we look at the environmental crisis that we've been told about, whatever else it is, actually we can have our feet planted and secure. We cannot let all those things bash us around and crush us with worry. Because the writer to the Hebrews says, we've got a certain hope that we need to be thankful for and grateful for. Verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We can stand secure and steady even when everything else around us is panicking and going crazy and worrying. We're part, if we're trusting Jesus, of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so we need to offer God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. One writer says this, "There's a choice before you. Remain steadfastly true to God, and in the day when the universe is shaken into destruction, your relationship with him will stand safe and secure. Be false to him, and the God who might have been your salvation will be to you a consuming fire of destruction." See, this is really, really important stuff, isn't it? If we have this awesome hope of heaven to look forward to, but also hope of confidence and security now. It goes beyond our fear of others and how they might respond, what they might say about us. Instead, we should fear for others and their place before the God who shakes everything. Everything else might pass away, but for those who trust in Jesus, our relationship is secure. Our future is secure. And so surely, don't we want to worship him? Don't we want to give thanks to him? Don't we want to be grateful? In knowing God, we gain everything. In rejecting him, we lose everything. So we should be grateful. Not arrogant or flippant, just deeply grateful. Another quote, "Assurance should never lead to complacency." And these verses remind us that we are in the hands of a sovereign, powerful God who shakes creation and history. In our technological age, tsunamis and hurricanes remind us of our pygmy frailty, and events of international significance drive us back into confidence in the God who controls all things and yet is our loving Father. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you for these words. Thank you that they are your words to us. Please help us to hear them, to listen to them, and to obey them. Lord, as we thought last week of the wonderful reality of heaven, Lord, may we also remember the reality of your coming judgment. Help us to be assured and confident of our security before you. But may it also shake us up to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know it. May you give us confidence and boldness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.